Well, good morning, church family. Thank you, John, for that great news. And it has been a really exciting week around here as we celebrate what God has done in you and through you to bless the whole world. So today is the final message in a series we've been doing this whole month called Near and Far. Most of the month, we've been focused really on this word far. What does it look like to be a blessing to people around the world? Well, today I want to shift for just a minute and look at this word. What does it mean for Memorial Road to be a blessing to people who are near? Now, I also need to give you a heads up. Next week, new series. It's called Disagree Differently. And I really want you to pray about this series leading up to it. This is a series I think our world needs. I think our country needs. I think we need it. I need it. We're not great at disagreement. And so we want to look at what Scripture says about that. So I want you to pray about that this week as we lead into it a week from today. Also on Wednesday, if you have a burden for this particular subject, we're going to gather at 7:30 after Bible class in this room, and we are going to spend about 20 minutes simply praying our way into this particular series. We're going to pray for unity. And so if you'd like to join, you're welcome to at 7:30 this coming Wednesday. You can know a lot about your present by looking at your past. So my aunt, Marianne Rosenbaum, who goes here, she put together a history book of my family about 2 years ago, and I was thumbing through it recently, and it starts with recent pictures. So there's a picture of me and my brother and my cousin from a few years ago. Is it a hug? Is it a strangle? I don't know. You can decide there. As it goes backwards, you got the wedding day of my grandparents. You go back even further, there's a picture of my great-great-grandfather taking a photo on Quartz Mountain in the exact same location that I have taken photos, but he did it about 100 years ago. If you keep going backwards, you'll meet a woman, my great-great-grandmother, named Narcissa. She lived to be 107. When people asked her how she did it, she said, well, you drink plenty of water and you mind your own business. It's a pretty good philosophy for life. If you go back even further, there's my great-great-great-grandfather, Robert, fought in the Civil War. Another great-great-great-grandfather is named John Brasher, and he was a Church of Christ preacher. Every person has stories that shape them and give them new insight and meaning and direction. And the same is true of a church or a particular congregation. So some of you have been here just a few years and you're getting to know people and you're enjoying it. Maybe you're a young adult and you just went on this retreat this weekend. We had 70 young adults go on a retreat this weekend. Or maybe you've been here 5 or 10 years and you're really starting to plant and you're forming good relationships. Maybe you've sent your kids through our Journeyland and youth group programs, and you're aware of how valuable this church is. Or maybe you've been here 20 years or 30 years, and you can tell story after story after story of the amazing men and women that have blessed the church for years. Well, the truth is, if you keep going back, just generation after generation, back in the history of this church family, you're going to meet a lot of people. You're going to meet people like Howard Norton, who I saw this morning sitting over here. He preached here a really long time. You'd meet people like Malcolm Hinckley, Morris Thurman, many others. But if you went all the way back to the beginning, you would find a group of people slightly smaller than most of our Bible classes that planted a church. They took a risk. They left what they knew to start something completely unknown. And these more or less 35 people started something that you and I now enjoy quite a bit today. And so please know that every Bible lesson, meal served, every life restored, every new program, every baptism, every song, every sermon, every deep conversation held in the classrooms of this building came from a church plant. Church plants really matter. So we have followed in the footsteps of these original founders, and in the history of the Memorial Road Church of Christ, we've done many things throughout the world, but we've also done quite a few things locally. We've actually planted 4 different churches over the last 20 years around the Metroplex. In 2004, we planted the Capitol Hill Church of Christ, from which we heard Walter Castro a few minutes ago. In 2010, we planted the Oakdale Church of Christ. In 2017, we planted the Serve Midtown Church of Christ. And just a few months ago, we hired our first minister at that church plant, Corey Baird, who grew up at this particular church family, then did a few years of ministry across town at New Hope and is now the minister at Midtown. And then in 2018, we planted the Heritage Church of Christ, and one of our longtime staff members, Travis Akins, has been doing a phenomenal job working there for several years now. And so what we want to do today is we want you to experience what God has been doing in and through these unique kingdom outposts that share your history because they share the history of this particular church family. And so we're going to show you a video, about a five-minute video, which is going to give you more context into what's going on at Heritage and what's going on at Midtown. And then after that video, we're going to hear a brief message from Corey Baird, followed by a brief message from Travis Akins. So for now, let's watch this video.
You look around at our city and at the amazing resources that God has blessed us with here at Memorial Road. And it's easy to ask, what if? What if He is calling us, calling you, to step out from the familiar, to reach people that need to know Jesus? The harvest is so plentiful, and we have workers. So what if we planted a church in North Edmond? Or what if we planted a church in Midtown, Oklahoma City? What if we did both?
And that's what we did. It's been amazing to see God at work the last 5 years through these church plants. The Midtown Church began in the summer of 2017 in Brown's Bakery. It's grown. It's recently moved to a larger space to have more room for children and additional guests.
The Browns graciously offered their business location that was really centrally located.
It's so close to Midtown area, and that you never know who's going to walk in the door. And so I really like that it's just open to everybody.
We started meeting at Cross and Crown recently so that we could hopefully expand further.
And we found out that everyone was very mission-oriented. So then I kind of fell in love with that because both of us want to do mission work in the future. You just see the mission atmosphere take place.
We have a lot of stories just from being catty corner to St. Anthony's. So we've kind of tailored our service areas to serve those people who are in our most immediate vicinity.
We are able to impact their lives in a very short amount of time and hopefully create lasting memories and a lasting impact.
Hopefully they connect us with healing and that then they'll see that the healing comes from God.
Love God and love each other. That's why I believe Midtown is a great place to be, because it just follows that message.
And to meet people where they're at in the way that Jesus did.
There are a lot of non-believers in this city. To have church plants locally so we can expand our reach to more people here that really need it is really important.
Oklahoma City is a large enough metropolitan area that there is plenty of room for church plants throughout the city.
The church has been so adaptable and eager to meet the needs of its community, and I'm excited to see what that community will need next.
We've had several home bases, and I'm excited about the future to possibly find a more long-term home.
My hope is that we better learn to meet the needs of our community and how to best love them, and whether that be just offering a listening ear or serving to those who are hungry.
And we can make a lot of impact here and build on a community here so that all of us have those opportunities to have Christ in our lives and be benefited from Memorial Road's great resources.
The Heritage Church of Christ launched in the fall of 2018, and they've grown as well. They currently meet in the Heritage Elementary School. They began plans for the first stage of a church building. Also, they're in the process of selecting elders.
Every Sunday, we get to church about an hour early. We have a team that sets up at least 200 chairs. We come into a school, and it transforms into a church.
When we walked in, the people were so welcoming. People talked to us, and just made us feel really at home.
Moving from Memorial Road to Heritage was really, it was an exciting move. We wanted our boys to be able to be involved and contribute in a smaller church.
One thing we do is we reach out to this school every month, show up with some kind of care package. Twice a year, we'll have a luncheon that we put on for them to let them know how much we appreciate them. Anything that's needed within the community, we want us to be available.
It has been great for our family. We've grown closer together. We've built relationships, not only just the ones from Memorial Road that have gotten stronger. We've met people we never would have met otherwise.
The type of people that are drawn to a church plant are typically your doers, your workers, your people that want to get involved right away. Being able to form bonds with those kind of people as we do kingdom work together has just been a tremendous blessing.
That's one of our best qualities, I feel like, that every single week everybody is contributing in some way. I hope that doesn't go away.
As Edmond is continuing to grow Northeast, our hope is that we will be a known presence in this area of the community and that we will be known for our hospitality, that we will keep our inclusive and our welcoming spirit that we have right now and bring that into the future.
And I hope that as we grow, we will keep being mission-minded and we will keep reaching our community. And I hope eventually we will get to a place where we can send another group and plant another church.
I'm so excited to see what God does next with Midtown and Heritage Churches. And I'm so thankful to be a part of a congregation that has a vision for expanding God's kingdom, both near and far.
So if you will join me in welcoming to the stage, Corey Baird.
All right. Well, good morning, Memorial Road. This is a really unique blessing. As Phil mentioned, I am the minister at the Serve Midtown Church, but I also did grow up right here in this very church body. And so the years I spent here for me were extremely formative and really continue to be into my adulthood. In fact, I'll just throw a name out there. Anybody familiar with Joyce McBride? Okay, yeah, a lot, most of us. So Joyce McBride was my very first Sunday school teacher of memory here at Memorial Road, and she instilled in me something that I think she instilled in so many of her students that still resonates to me on a day-to-day fashion throughout life. And to think of a teacher that I had when I was like 3 or 4 years old playing a substantive role and how my adulthood might play out is a crazy notion. But if you have an opportunity and you're teaching kids in Journeyland or anywhere, do not take for granted the impact you might be having. Because what she instilled in me was what she instilled in so many people, Psalm 23. A chapter that is beginning with, "The Lord is my shepherd." This is a 6-verse poem written by King David, starting from the premise that I am a sheep, and here are the provisions of my shepherd. In the Gospel of John, Jesus actually teaches us specifically that he is the good shepherd. In fact, this teaching comes after a series of events where Jesus and his disciples had been walking along and saw a blind beggar. And the disciples asked why he was blind. And after a miraculous restoration of his sight, Jesus heals this man, brings his sight back, and it sets off a series of questions which fuel more flames of discontent toward Jesus, and really ends with this man who had been blind being cast out of the temple. This teaching picks up following that in chapter 10. So Jesus' audience is presumably a group of Pharisees, some Jews, and very possibly the man whose sight had been restored. He uses imagery of sheep, talking about the dangers which threaten their safety. In verse 11, he actually clarifies that he is the caretaker. That first verse, he says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Using the adjective good, he encourages us to view the shepherd metaphor through a lens of honor and shame.
These are two values which would have been very important to people in Jesus' time, and for our purposes, should probably be equally important. Value and shame, which is to say there is such a thing as a bad shepherd, or one who does their job poorly. Understanding the life of a shepherd for us might be a little disillusioned in 21st century America, but it would have been a really lonely existence. In fact, maybe boring. Perhaps the most entertaining thing a shepherd could do to keep themselves from going crazy would be talk to their sheep. Talking to them, in fact, so much so that the sheep would recognize their voice. And sometimes the shepherd might even name their sheep. But this was important so that, say, if a shepherd took his flock to a watering hole one day, and across the way another shepherd was bringing his flock to the watering hole one day, and they happened to know each other, they could say, hey, let's spend a few days hanging out, take turns watching over the flocks and get some rest. Well, when these shepherds depart to go their own direction, there would be no issue figuring out which sheep belonged to which shepherd because the sheep would simply follow the voice with which they were familiar. Jesus knows us by name as his sheep, meaning he approves of us and accepts us right where we are. And he's known by us as our shepherd. He observes us with an eye of favor, so we should observe him with an eye of faith. The good shepherd is a metaphor describing the one who cares for, feeds, protects, and leads the sheep back home. In fact, the good shepherd lays down their life for the sheep. Western world shepherding's a little bit differently than it was done in the older times. In our Western world, we see shepherding done from the side or from the back, using sheepdogs to keep the herds intact. In the Eastern world, shepherding would be done from the front. The shepherd would go ahead of their flock using their voice to tell the sheep when and where to move next. Verse 14, Jesus reiterates, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. As followers of Christ, sometimes we get the opportunity to reflect the good shepherd to somebody else. And other times we get the opportunity to witness it through someone. A couple weeks ago, my phone rang. It was a phone number I didn't recognize, so like any logical person, I sent it straight to voicemail. And the phone rang again 10 seconds later, and it was a person on the other end. I picked it up, and a member from the Serve Midtown Church was calling me. His name is David. David had a request, but before I tell you what his request was, you need to know a couple things about him. He, in contrast to us, doesn't necessarily have the same things that many of us do. He doesn't drive a car. He doesn't have a working cell phone, which is why he was calling me from a neighbor's phone. He rides a bike wherever he goes. He lives alone. And in fact, if you see David, he's kind of physically imposing. He's like 6'4", an American Indian man with long hair and lots of tattoos and a gravelly voice. But anybody who's met David will tell you that the biggest thing you probably see first and foremost is he has an incredible heart for other people. This was his request. A friend of his was traveling from Kansas, trying to get back home to their family in Texas. He had gotten stuck here in Oklahoma for a couple days without money, and happened to find Dave was staying at David's place, and David had gone to borrow a neighbor's phone to call me to see if we at the Serve Midtown Church could do anything about getting his friend a bus ticket. So I said, let me see what we can do. I talked to our committee. We got it approved, did a little research, bought the ticket, and so I called David back and I said, man, good news. We got the ticket. Here's when his bus leaves tomorrow. And David said, man, great, thank you. What time will you be here to pick him up? It was at this point I realized I was his ride to the bus station. But I said, I'll be there 45 minutes early. This is what I drive. You know, I'll see you then. So the next day I go, I pick him up, and David's friend hops in the car, but then David hops in right along with him and just starts navigating. I wasn't expecting it, but I was thankful. I didn't really know where I was going. He starts pushing us toward the bus station, but insists on making a quick stop first. As we pull off into a parking lot, get out of my car, the three of us walked up a little ways. And he handed me a phone so that I could take a picture of he and his buddies standing next to each other in front of the Centennial Memorial Monument in Oklahoma City. David was very proud of being an Oklahoman and also wanted a memory of his time with his friend that he and they could both keep. So I took the picture and we got back in the car, drove to the bus station, got Eric his ticket and sent him on his way. And in that day, I got to witness secondhand a man named David reflect the nature of a good shepherd. Verse 16, Jesus tells us, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. Jesus discusses an entire set of people who do not yet belong to him, but must be brought along as well. One shepherd makes one flock. One Christ makes one church. As the church is one in its constitution, may we as the members of it also continue to be one in love and affection for one another. Father God, we thank you for being our shepherd, for your protection, your guidance, and all the provisions you give us throughout the day. Protect us as we move about and lead us through this terrain, Lord. We love you, and it's in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness, shining Jesus' light.
Thank you. It is such a good reminder that the Lord is our shepherd. So thank you for that. It's also a good reminder if Uber doesn't work, call Corey. So that's a good thing to know there. So I do appreciate that's a powerful word from John 10. Will you join me in welcoming Travis Akins to the stage?
Well, good morning. It is good to be back with you. I have missed most of you, if not all of you. I'm thankful for the opportunity, the invitation to be back at Memorial Road, this very special place, this wonderful church family. Means so much not only to me and my family, but also to my current church family, the Heritage Church of Christ. And I want to tell you a little bit about Heritage Church and give you kind of an update, but also want to share hopefully a reminder that I've learned over this last little bit of time that we've been in. And today being today, I thought we should start with a scary story. So I want to tell you a scary story, and it's a story that in many respects all of us have been living over these last 18 months. But I want to take us back beyond that just a moment, because though the story is not uncommon, the story doesn't mean an uncommon story, all right, also has truth. Even though we share in the time that we are in, there is opportunity for us to learn from, and that's exactly what I have experienced over this time. And August 5th, actually, 2018, our small band of brothers and sisters was blessed by this church and sent out to North Edmond, and the Heritage Church of Christ was officially born. In those 18 months that followed August 5th, 2018, we had seen growth, and not just numerical growth In 18 months, the Heritage Church had more than doubled in attendance and in membership. We were seeing a growth of families and people just coming to the Heritage Church that were moving in town, coming in different ways. And we had saw a growth in our youth group, our children's ministry. Our youth group had just gotten back from their biggest retreat at the time in early 2020. They were planning for their second full summer of activities and events and everything else you can imagine. Our children's ministry was preparing for their first elementary age camp that particular summer. We had just kicked off a campaign to start raising funds for our first church home at the end of 2019 and early 2020. We were well on our way. We found a groove. We were in a place that felt very God-led and inspired. And then you can remember the scary part, March 2020. And what really gave me fear and trepidation in this time is this picture right here. An empty school cafeteria. This empty school cafeteria, this is the Heritage Elementary School, Broadway and Sorghum Mill. This is where we meet every Sunday. And this empty school cafeteria represents a whole lot of scary for me. Because just like you and so many around the world in our country, the global pandemic hit our neck of the woods. And the fear that I had was that we were not even 2 years old as a church when we couldn't go in this cafeteria anymore. We went online just like you. And I don't think I slept a whole lot in that spring of 2020. I was worried about what this meant for a young congregation that was just finding its footing. I worried what this meant for the relationships that were being built within our young church community. I was worried about what this meant for our youth group, our children. How could we function as a young church without the long history of moving forward when you don't have the opportunity of being together? And we did our best. I threw everything I could at the wall to see what would stick during this time. Didn't sleep a lot. I was incredibly prayerful and concerned, and my fear grew, it seemed, every single day. But here's what I was reminded, and I am still being reminded of this. God is faithful. God is bigger than the circumstances. He's bigger than the moment. And praise be to Him, He's bigger than my fears. Because what I have seen, starting in about 2 weeks, I guess a little less than 2 weeks, the Heritage Church of Christ will have lived through more time in a pandemic than not in a pandemic. And I have learned that God's faithfulness is evident, and God is active, and God moves. God is faithful. And so I have some images to show you over these last 18 to 19 months of this incredibly stressful time. We're a young church without that history, without the historical context, was able to meet outside. And I'm telling you, it was windy at times, it was cold at times, it would be hot at times. Did I mention it was windy at times? It would rain on us outside. And when Edmond Public Schools said, hey, yes, you can meet in our parking lot, but please wear a mask, I thought no one's going to come with a mask outside. Everyone showed up. Because there was a desire to be together. There was a hopefulness in being together. God worked through the circumstances to not only raise up people, but to strengthen His church and His kingdom. This picture was taken last Sunday. Pre-pandemic, we were in the 120s on a Sunday. We had around 38, 39 family units. This day, they haven't started worship quite yet, but we are averaging in the 150s, and we have 72 family units. Now, numbers aren't everything, Because what I've learned about God's faithfulness through this time is that God works and he is active and he strengthens even when we are scared or uncertain or find anxiety in the times that we are in. I'm grateful that God is faithful and he is active and he is moving. Which reminds me of what the Apostle Paul has to say to the church in Rome. Romans chapter 8. You might probably quite familiar with this verse. But in Romans chapter 8, verse 28 specifically, the Apostle Paul reminds us that in all things, we know God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Romans chapter 8, right, quite simply is about living in present sufferings at the leadership of God's Holy Spirit, because we are children of God. So we can live through the sufferings of the moment because we are the children of the Holy Creator of all things. And Romans chapter 8, verse 28 really has really anchored itself into my life over these last 18, 19 months. Because it's not a hope that God will work. It's not a position that, man, I really am hoping things work out over time. That in the moment or the circumstances, the situations that we find ourselves in, I'm hoping God will deliver in this moment. No, but you know what the Apostle Paul reminds us of? That when we don't know what to say, you know what he says this in the few verses before? He says, we go to the Spirit and the Spirit groans on our behalf and God understands. When we don't understand what's going on, we don't hope God delivers. We know. We know God will work in all things for his people, his children, and that is exactly what we are. When we find ourselves in the moment, scared, uncertain, anxious, fearful of what is to come, we turn to the God who will work for his glory and his kingdom in all things and all circumstances, pandemic or not, outside or not, mask or not, whatever the situation may be, God is active and he is alive in all good things. Will be there for him. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the reminder. I am grateful to be a part of this church plant, the Heritage Church of Christ. I'm incredibly optimistic and hopeful for the future. And in just about a month, the Heritage Church of Christ will install its first local eldership. In early 2022, Lord willing, it seems that we're on this path, we will break ground on our first church home. God, let me say it this way. From a human perspective, I can look back over the last 18, 19 months and I can say, oh no. You know, we're a year behind. You know, we're roughly $1 million more in the hole for a building project because of this pandemic. But then I remember the people and the faces, and I remember the works, and I remember the baptisms, and I remember the lives that are changed because God put it on this congregation to have the wherewithal, to have the belief, to have the faith to plant a church in a growing part of this neck of the woods because they knew, because his people know that God will work the good and his people. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for this place. And I'm grateful for a God who is faithful in all circumstances. God is faithful. Amen. Praise be to God.
Let's show our appreciation one more time. Travis, thank you. Thank you, really, for that word. Reminds me that God does his best work in the dark. And no one wants to be in the dark, and no one wants to suffer, but that's often where God works the most. So thank you for that powerful word. Another thing I'm so encouraged from both you, Travis, and you, Corey, is just the thought that there are people that every Sunday walk through the doors of your particular places where you work now and serve, and they're walking with Christ, and they would have never come to this place. They don't live around here. And so the kingdom is growing because of these plants. So thank you for all the work that you have done. Well, we're gonna sing a song about sending the light into the world. And so as we sing this song, if there is something going on in your life and you need the prayers of this church family, you're welcome to come tell me about that. If you'd like to give your life to Christ in the waters of baptism, we'd love to do that for you this morning.